Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. Proposed legislation in Washington State would establish voting protections for Native Americans. It would allow tribal IDs at polling places, as well as alternatives to listing a physical address. This comes after some states passed laws that appear to hinder voting by Native Americans in the midterm elections last November. Today on the show, we'll talk with voting rights advocates about ways to improve access for Native voters. We go live right after the news.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes in for Antonio Gonzalez. At least three Native American leaders are scheduled to attend the President's State of the Union address as guests of members of Congress. Former Acoma Pueblo Governor Curt Riley is a guest of New Mexico Senator Martin Heinrich. In a written statement, Riley said he is honored to attend the event. He and Heinrich both referenced the recent 35-day partial federal government shutdown. Riley stated many tribes have yet to recover after leaving services like health care, transportation, and law enforcement unfunded for over a month. Riley is the chairman of the 10 Southern Pueblo Council of Governors. He is also a member of the All Pueblo Council of Governors. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith invited the state's newly elected Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan to the address. Flanagan, a member of the White Earth Nation, said she hopes to shine a light on issues facing Native communities. And Senator John Tester from Montana invited Brianna Lamb to the State of the Union. Lamb is a Missoula activist. She was instrumental in Tester's recent decision to organize a Senate Indian Affairs Committee hearing on missing and murdered indigenous women. Lamb is Grove Vaughn from Fort Belknap. She works on community efforts to fight violence against Native women. For her first State of the Union address on the House floor, New Mexico Representative Deborah Holland invited a transgender activist as a guest. Mara Kiesling is the founder and director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Holland from the Pueblo of Laguna said it's important to lift up voices of the transgender community after what she calls an attack on transgender military personnel by the Trump administration. Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez praises Utah leaders for supporting the Indian Child Welfare Act. KSL.com reports Utah's governor and attorney general joined Nez in signing an agreement to uphold the law designed to keep Native children with their families. Nez calls the agreement a model for all of Indian country. It comes after a federal judge in Texas ruled against ICWA in October of last year, first filed by non-Native foster parents wanting to adopt a Native child. A dispute over the Crow Tribe of Montana's leadership has prompted First Interstate Bank to freeze the tribe's assets. KTVH-TV reports the action came as A.J. Not Afraid and Carlson Goes Ahead both claim to be the tribe's elected chairman. KULR-TV reports a federal court issued a summons to determine who has control over some $2.4 million in tribal funds. Not Afraid was sworn in last month as the elected chairman of the tribe. Goes Ahead is the tribe's vice chairman, but says he is the acting leader following a council vote to remove Not Afraid. The bank is getting pressure from both factions to restrict access of funds to the rightful executive leaders. Several key congressional Democrats are speaking out against the nominee to take over the Department of the Interior. Arizona Representative Raul Grijalva says Donald Trump's nominee, David Bernhardt, has a career of lobbying for fossil fuel and agricultural industry interests and would be in charge of regulating his former clients as Secretary of Interior. Grijalva is chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee. He says he intends to conduct vigorous oversight of Bernhardt's industry ties. Donald Trump announced on Twitter Monday his intention to nominate Bernhardt. He has been serving as interim director since Ryan Zinke stepped down in December. Milwaukee County in Wisconsin is renaming a park to Indigenous Peoples Park. It's now named for explorer Christopher Columbus. County Supervisor Felicia Martin told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the renaming is a nod to the area's tribes and is more appropriate than naming it after one specific tribe. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support provided by BNSF Railway. BNSF is proud to be a gold-level memorial donor for the creation of the National Native American Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. More at americanindian.si.edu. Support by PrairieEdge.com. Our special selection of dried herbs are chosen for superior quality, and many sage, sweetgrass braids, red willow bark, and cedar are wild-crafted. In Rapid City or online at PrairieEdge.com. Wopila.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. A Washington state bill called the Native American Voting Rights Act is designed to make it easier for Native people to vote in local, state, and federal elections. It would allow more options for tribal members to list their residence. It would also allow Native voters to use their tribal IDs at polling places. This bill comes after Washington became the 10th state to adopt automatic voter registration to increase voter turnout. This comes after attempts in other states in recent years to put additional requirements on voting. Last year, North Dakota required voters to list a physical address. Tribes in that state unsuccessfully sued to undo the law, saying it disproportionately affects tribal members. In Washington State's proposal, a turning point for voting access that other states might follow in order to increase voting access for Native Americans. And we want to hear your thoughts on this. Do you think something like this, which you heard a little bit about, could help? What more needs to be done to gain better access to voting? Or even increase Native voter turnout. What do you think could be made easier for your tribe, your community? Give us a call. Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And right now, my pleasure to say hello to our guest who's joining us today out of Boulder, Colorado. We have Jacqueline DeLeon, and she is a staff attorney for the Native American Rights Fund. She is a Salado Pueblo. My pleasure to say hello. Jacqueline, welcome to the hour.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And Jacqueline, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what has happened in this past election. And now we have this new law in Washington, which seems to just kind of be, you know, turning things around. And when you take a look at where we were with the North Dakota law not too long ago, and what many advocates are saying, disenfranchising Native voters, and then we have something like this happening in Washington. What's your take on these kind of two opposites?
Yeah, so well, I just want to say, you know, NARF and allies and other organizations are continuing to challenge the law in North Dakota. So that challenge is ongoing. Even though we weren't able to get the law changed before the election, we're going to continue to fight that law. In Washington State, you know, it's encouraging to see this type of legislation going forward. NARF started a coalition of a whole bunch of voting experts and different organizations and formed a coalition that came together to sort of start studying why it is that Native Americans lacked access to the polls. And one of the initiatives was to have a series of field hearings around Indian Country. We had 9 in total to ask directly community members what is preventing you from accessing the polls. And we had one in the Northwest region. And what came out of that was concerns about the vote-by-mail system that's really popular in that region. And the problems, you know, have to do with the lack of residential addresses on, you know, Native American homes, you know, the lack of housing generally, the high turnover among homes. A lot of people do, you know, what's quote-unquote called couch surfing, so going from you know, home to home because there isn't enough adequate housing. And so what we really have is a problem meeting the requirement that somebody has to mail in, have a specific mailing address where they can receive a ballot. And so what this Washington bill does is it allows tribes to designate a building that can be used as both the pickup and drop-off place for the ballot. And I think that, hopefully this is an innovative way that people can exercise their right to vote and not be burdened by having to have a permanent physical address, which is what we saw in North Dakota disenfranchise people and what we were seeing in places like the Pacific Northwest was also disenfranchising people. So, I think that I commend Washington State for taking this action, and hopefully, it'll be passed and people will be able to have more of an opportunity to vote.
And so it's still making its way through the legislature. Where does it stand currently? Do you know?
I believe it's been introduced in both chambers, and so I think they're deliberating now. I don't believe it's been passed yet.
And so is there any pushback from people saying, well, we don't have these problems where we're at, or are there any legislators who are fighting this? Do you know, Jacqueline?
Well, I did testify in front of the Washington State Legislature, both the House and the Senate, last week. And while I was there, nobody voiced any opposition. And so, I'm hopeful that the legislation will be successful. But, I guess you never know what may arise in deliberations.
All right. Thank you for that. And what do you think about all this? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We're going to go to Washington now to say hello to another one of our guests. Joining us today out of Toppenish, Washington, is Matthew Tomaskin, and he is the Yakima Nation Legislative Liaison, and he is a citizen of the Yakima Nation. Matthew, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, and again, my name is Matthew Tomaskin, and I do work for the Yakima Nation, and did testify in the companion bills in the legislature with regard to the voting in the House and Senate.
And so tell me a little bit, Jacqueline did a great job of kind of setting things up, but what more of the story of this bill making its way through Washington State legislation, what more would you like to share? Any details or where some of the fuel for it came?
Well, actually, here in Washington State, we've been pushing to pass the Voting Rights Act. We know that we have a National Voting Rights Act, and finally, last legislative session a year ago, Washington State did pass the Voting Rights Act for Washington State, which, as you indicated earlier, creates automatic voting. So if you're going to get your driver's license and you're over 18, you're automatically registered to vote. And that doesn't begin here until July because that passed last year. So it takes effect about a year after the governor signs it. And this is moving forward to finally reach Native populations with the Native Voting Rights Act.
And so tell me more, Matthew, what are some of the things in the Native American Voting Rights Act, the proposed one, that you're excited about, or clearly you can say, okay, problem solved here. Go ahead.
Well, I would agree with Jacqueline, and we do have a lot of individuals who are homeless, and this creates that address where they could have their ballot mailed. We moved from poll voting about 20 years ago. So it's an absentee ballot. So what they'll do is they'll mail you your ballot. And an individual, all he or she would need to do is just go to the address indicated and pick up their ballot. And one of the things that I had worked on, it took me about 3 years, was to get a ballot drop box in front of our headquarters. But also with the last year's passage of the legislation, the governor had indicated that what we were doing prior to this legislation last year was we had to pay postage. But this last election cycle in 2018, the governor approved funding so that individuals can vote and then just drop their ballot in the mailbox with prepaid postage.
And Matthew, when it comes to the Yakima Nation, do you have a clear view on just what voting rates are like and how many people do turn out to the poll or even their feelings and attitudes about it?
Well, unfortunately, I do encounter a lot of pushback because we are one of the last few treaty tribes. And a lot of the individuals feel that as a treaty tribe, we partake in our own elections, and then they see local or state, even federal elections as another government entity that they feel that they really don't need to participate in.
And what kind of effect do you feel that has?
It has some of that, whatever negative effect, because it's hard to get individuals to understand that, you know, these individuals do represent us. They do appropriate funding, and unfortunately, the federal government does give funding to the state, and then the state in turn gives it to us. So if we have some friendly individuals that we're working with, legislatively or locally or even in federal level, it makes that process easier.
And you know what, Matthew, I'm sure that, you know, Yakima isn't alone in people's attitudes towards voting. Is always an interesting one in our tribal communities. And Jacqueline, I'd like you to talk a little bit about that after this break, about voting trends or just attitudes towards voting. And, you know, does it mirror what we're hearing from Matthew and what he's found in his own nation? Folks, what are you thinking about all this? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. The Native American Rights Fund has done the research showing what some of the barriers are, people's thoughts on why they don't vote. But what would you like to share today? What are some of the barriers you've ever faced going to the polls? Did it turn you off for life? Did you stop voting after that happened? You can share your thoughts today. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Or maybe you're thinking, okay, it is time for reform. We're hearing a little bit about what Washington State is proposing. What about in your own state or your tribal community? What about a ballot box, the ability to mail things in, or that challenge to the P.O. box and the ability to vote? What do you think about that? What needs to change? Or maybe there's something that is really worked for your community and you want to share a bit of that side of the story. We look forward to hearing about it. You can give us a ring today. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And if you're on Twitter, send us your tweet too. We are at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you're finding this in our podcast, you can leave your comments directly on our website, nativeamericacalling.com. But when it comes to voting, where do you stand on the ability to do it? Is it easy or is it hard? Give us a call. Government food guides encourage people to eat a healthy and balanced diet. They provide guidance for schools and tribal nutritional programs, among other things. But they don't always take indigenous foods into account. We'll learn about efforts to change government recommendations on the next Native America Calling.
Support by the Colorado Small Business Development Center Network, helping existing and new businesses start, grow, and prosper. With no-cost confidential business consulting and low or no-cost training programs, including the Starting Your Business Workshop, Introduction to QuickBooks, and Social Media Marketing Strategies. More information and center locations for the Colorado Small Business Development Center available online at coloradosbdc.org.
Devacha jekiro, it's
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are talking about creating more access to the polls for Native American voters. And how is voting made more difficult in and around your rural Native community by voting laws or redistricting? Give us a call and join a conversation at 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Share your thoughts on what you face, the barriers that you face going to the polls. With us today is Staff Attorney for the Native American Rights Fund, Jacqueline De Leon. Also here with us is Matthew Tomaskin, and he is a citizen of the Yakima Nation. He is also the Yakima Nation Legislative Liaison. My pleasure to have both of them here. And Jacqueline, I'm going to turn to you and just hearing from Matthew earlier about thoughts on voting or why people don't, or even just mistrust in general of the system. Tell us more about what NARF has found about this, and why is it important to make state legislators know about some of these barriers and maybe even hoping for change? Go ahead.
Yeah, so first I want to thank Matthew for bringing up that point, because I think it's a great one and one that's consistent throughout all of the testimony that we heard throughout Indian country. And that's that there's a continued distrust, obviously, of the federal and state governments, and a belief that in a lot of ways maybe it's in some sense a betrayal of your own Native history or Native sovereignty to participate in federal and state elections. And I think that that's something that, you know, as Native Americans, we have to grapple with and come to reconcile. And, you know, the thing about American democracy is that it's open to everybody and that there's power there. Now, and so we have to, as communities and individuals, decide whether or not we want to seize that power, whether or not we want to exercise that power to improve our communities. Now, that's not to say, that's in theory, right? In so many ways, and what we saw, again, throughout Indian country, is that there are very real barriers that are preventing Native Americans from even accessing the ballot box. So whether it's unreasonable distances that people are having to travel, 40, 50 miles on average, up to 150 miles, just to access the ballot box. And then when, you know, a community requests that that ballot box be put in their community, say, for example, the Crow Creek Reservation requested for its 2,200 members that a ballot box be placed in its community. That request was rejected and instead given to a nearby town of about 12 members. Matthew talked about how it took him 3 years to get a ballot box approved for his community. And so when, you know, states take those actions, when counties take those actions and deny the request to make voting reasonable in Native communities, that distrust continues to build. And people don't feel like they're invited to that system. What's being communicated is that your vote doesn't matter. And it's not surprising then that the attitude is reflecting that, you know, that system isn't ours. It's because the system's also not treating them like it's theirs. And so, you know, I think that my job at NARF is to try and knock down those barriers as much as possible, try and challenge states that insist on those barriers, and try and work with states that are willing to acknowledge that Native communities are often neglected and aren't receiving a fair chance to access the ballot box.
All right. And with that, let's toss that to our listening audience. Do you feel welcome in national, local, or state elections? Why or why not? Would love to hear you answer that. Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take a call. We're going to say hi to Naomi in Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Naomi, thank you for giving us a ring. Go ahead, share your thoughts.
Hello, good afternoon. My thoughts as our tribal elections, we have 19 precincts on our reservation, 9 districts that we have sites at. Some of them have communities. We usually try to get as much of our Lakota people to, and it falls back on our district
You know what, Naomi? We are having a hard time hearing you. Let's see if maybe we can get a better connection. Hang tight while we do that. Matthew, when we think about what's going on in Washington, the proposed bill, you know, how likely do you think it is that this bill will become law?
You had just faded out there at the last part of the question.
No problem. How likely is it that the Native American Voting Rights Act will become law?
I think it has a really good chance, and as was indicated in the opening, we did testify there was no pushback. But again, you know, that's not saying that it won't smoothly go through both House and Senate. They do have companion bills, and there may be a hiccup here or two, and I think it'll pass. But it's just really uncertain, and I guess, you know, I'm not sounding racist or anything, but, you know, we only have one woman in the House and one two tribal members in the Senate. You know, we have John McCoy and Deborah Lankinoff, so it's an uphill battle just to begin with because of the lack of proper representation that we have here in Washington State, because you kind of touched on it, because of the gerrymandering.
All right. Thank you for that. You know, are you hopeful that this bill will pass? Give us a ring, 1-800-996-2848. And if it did, what would it mean for your tribal nation? Do you feel that your voice would be heard? 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And right now we're going to go to Spokane, Washington, to say hello to Yvette Joseph. She is an elected precinct committee officer in Spokane County. She is a state committee person with the Washington State Democrats for the 6th Legislative District. She is also the vice chair for the Native American Caucus of Washington State Democrats, and she is a member of the Colville Tribe. Yvette, my pleasure to say hello to you. Welcome to the show.
Hello, it's good to hear your voice.
And Yvette, any thoughts on what this bill could mean for Native nations there in Washington?
Well, I know you just asked the question about is it likely to pass. I thoroughly expect it will. Senator McCoy is doing a great job. He's got the majority leader on the bill, and there are 9 sponsors in the Senate. Even better, in the House, Deborah Lankinoff, who is our first Native American woman to serve in the State House, has 24 sponsors already on the bill, and I think that's out of maybe 88 legislators. So, you know, she's got the ball rolling on this, and so I think it's very likely it will pass. But I really do think the measure is very important. I'm, you know, as you noted, from the Colville Tribe, and we had one. We have 2 counties. The reservation split in 2 different legislative districts, but we also have 2 counties. And one of the counties, Ferry County, was the only one out of 39 whose auditor did not want to stamp the ballots for a return. And the tribe and the state Democratic Party had to really force the issue. We had candidates who were on top of this as a concern. And then that same county auditor did not want to go and pick up the ballots immediately after the election. She actually waited nearly 2 weeks before she went to pick up the ballot boxes from the reservation. So, you know, we have folks who are actively trying to disenfranchise our voters.
And Yvette, it seems like, you know, with this bill, it's also about convincing non-Native legislators about, you know, the importance of this. And what do you think about that? Is that an uphill battle to, you know, have them recognize, even if Native voters aren't in their district? Is that something? Go ahead.
I think it's important for the mainstream population as well as for the Native population. We have, you know, a lot of non-Natives in the community. We have a lot of reservations that have been checkerboarded. We do have, sadly, a couple of active hate groups in Washington State, you know, and their constituency is definitely not necessarily behind measures like this, but I do think that it's heartening that there is legislation to this effect. We certainly don't want to see what has happened in the state of North Dakota. I know, you know, where I lived last when I was on the reservation. I'm in Spokane, so I'm about 2 hours away now. But, you know, where my particular property where I lived, it didn't have, I mean, it had a post office box, it had a physical address, but there's such limited infrastructure on the reservation and still a lot of analog telephones. There's not a lot of broadband connectivity, and it's just difficult for tribal members to vote in the regular general elections.
And Jacqueline, I want to toss that to you as well, because it seems like, as I said, this is also about convincing non-natives or people who don't even have natives in their district that this is an important thing. You know, is that a hard thing? Or when this kind of push happens, is it also about doing Native 101 about, you know, our role in society and how sovereign nations work with states? Anything there, Jacqueline?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of this is about Native 101, right? I mean, it's just, you know, that sometimes there's overt hostility between communities that are longstanding, you know, like Yvette mentioned, you know, county officers that don't want to work with tribes. Other times it's intimidation, you know, fear of working with tribes. They don't understand, you know, what jurisdictions and that sort of thing are. And so a lot of it is education. But when it comes to working with non-native legislators, you know, ultimately, the right to vote is the right to vote of every American. Native Americans are Americans. It's the responsibility of legislators. It's the responsibility of states to administer those elections to every one of its citizens. And so, you know, impressing upon them their constitutional obligations, impressing upon them what it is that it's their job to do for everybody in their state, which includes tribal nations, is, I think, you know, often eye-opening for them. It's something they hadn't considered before. There are also, you know, natural allies. Rural communities often suffer from the same infrastructure issues that Native American communities do. And so highlighting, say they don't have any Native Americans within their constituencies, but they do have a significant rural population, allying with those people sometimes can be fruitful.
And I know this bill, this proposed bill, bears the name Native American Voting Rights Act, but could non-natives and, as you describe, other people in rural areas benefit if this bill is passed in Washington? Any thoughts, Jacqueline?
Well, this bill is pretty specific to Native communities, because what it does is empowers Native American, tribal governments to designate a building where individuals can pick up and drop off a ballot box and use as their residential address. And it also allows for the usage of tribal IDs and doesn't, you know, require, for example, an expiration date on those tribal IDs, because you never expire being Indian. So these kind of, accommodations are specific to Native communities. But, you know, if this turns out to be successful, if tribal communities are able to model that, you know, a pickup and drop-off location in a rural area is a successful way of gathering ballots, maybe that can be modeled down the line for rural communities.
And Jacqueline, when we do consider our tribal communities, there's also non-natives who also live in our community or either married to tribal members. Would they be able to access this?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, thank you. Yvette, any other thoughts?
Well, I do think that it's very important that our tribal leadership, our tribal journalist, anybody who has sort of influence works to encourage Native vote. There are a lot of reasons that were given to NARF about why they don't participate, and a lot of it does deal with disenfranchisement, folks feeling like their vote doesn't make a difference, but it really does. And I think this past election was very important because we had so many great Native American candidates, like our cousin Paulette Jordan, who ran for governor in Idaho, you know, individuals like Deb Haaland and Sharice Davids and Peggy Flanagan. And, you know, we need to have in Washington State, the State Democratic Party is really working on an initiative called Rise and Run, and they're trying to get as many individuals as possible to run for public office. and at the county level, at the school board level, in the community, city hall, you know, the state legislature, the Congress. I mean, we just need to have our Native Americans think about, seriously think about running for office. And if they're former tribal leaders, I would hope that they too would consider running for a county or state position, because their voice is just as valuable. And, you know, I think that's what our big drive is in Washington, is to encourage people to get out and vote and to get people to see, you know, and identify with candidates.
Yeah, and Yvette, are there any initiatives to bring in younger voters as well, or first-time voters?
Certainly there are. And, you know, we're trying to do everything we can. I know I've got a 24-year-old and 25-year-old who I try to make active in the party activities, and they're helping me with registration, getting voter registration to happen. But we need to have more young people doing that, and that's why I'm kind of excited about the gal from New York who's so young. She's only 28, but she's serving in the Congress, and, you know, Alexandria Ocasio. And, you know, I just think we have to push, and, you know, I want to see Paulette move forward and be successful. But, you know, she pulled it off, won her primary with, you know, quite a widespread, I think, because, you know, she had young people behind her, and we need to have more people like her helping to get out the vote.
All right, thank you for that. And I'm wondering, you know, past elections, have they energized you to either, you know, take a look at the process, maybe even challenge it, or voice, here are the barriers. This is why I wasn't able to vote. I wanted to vote, but I couldn't because of this. That's what we're talking about today. And if there's something you'd like to share, you can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And as Yvette was just talking about, people getting energized, maybe even prompting people to run in the next election. How does all of this tie together? You know, you need the votes if you want to get in. Are you starting at this level of maybe one day running for office by helping advocates or helping people to understand the importance of the vote? What do you think? We're real curious. We want to hear from you today. Go ahead and give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. What do you think about all this? And if, again, I'm going to put this out there, if before you wanted to vote, but there were barriers and you couldn't, now you said, nope, no more. Tell me about it. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We do want to hear from you. And coming up after the break, Yvette, would definitely like to hear thoughts and attitudes on voting there in the Colville Nation. Maybe you are a citizen there and you also want to share a view. Go ahead and give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We do look forward to your calls. And North Dakota, putting a call out to you. You know what you experienced the last election. Any thoughts for us today?
Support by the University of New Mexico, the state's flagship research university. UNM is a welcoming and inclusive community of learners, providing enriching programs and services that support our Native American students. The University of New Mexico is growing the number of Native American and Indigenous faculty across campus. UNM is a destination university for Native and Indigenous undergraduate, graduate, and professional students. More at unm.edu. Yo ho 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 we yo hi.
Thank you for joining us. This is Native America Calling. Today we're focusing on voting rights. Two Native legislators in Washington State introduced bills specifically designed to make it easier for Native people to vote. Have you encountered barriers when voting? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848. With us today on the line is Yvette Joseph. She is a precinct committee officer in Spokane County and state committee person with the Washington State Democrats for the 6th Legislative District, and also the vice chair for the Native American Caucus of the Washington State Democrats. She is also a member of the Colville Tribe. Here with us, too, from the Yakima Nation is Matthew Tomaskin. And he is the Yakima Nation Legislative Liaison. And on the line, too, we have Staff Attorney for the Native American Rights Fund, Jacqueline DeLeon. Thank you all for being with us. And you know what? We're going to take some calls. Let's go ahead and say hi to Joyce in Wounded Knee, South Dakota, tuned in today. Joyce, thanks for calling. You're on air. Oh, boy. Joyce, come back to the phone. Turn off your radio, though. Let's talk to Melvin while we're getting Joyce on the line. Melvin is in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thank you for giving us a ring. Go ahead, your thoughts.
Yes, good morning. One of your people talking there on the radio mentioned that young adults, you know, they're the majority in every tribe. We need to get our young people to start voting because they can make a difference in every, like in the South Dakota elections especially, you know, in Montana, you know, and probably in Washington too. But we need to start maybe even getting them to register in high school and encourage them to vote. You know, they are the majority. I would just like to support that comment earlier that lady made about young people.
All right. Melvin, great to hear from you there in Santee. And Yvette, talk to us a little bit about Colville and attitudes towards voting and maybe even thoughts on how to make it better.
Well, I know that I've had the chance to help our tribe in the past take and issue a tribal voter guide with information on how the tribal government would like individuals to vote, and I was able to do that with the Spokane tribe this past election. I think that's a very important initiative. I think, you know, really it would be great if every tribe would consider this like a celebration day. I know, you know, at our most recent state party meeting last weekend, there was a lady from the Squaxin Island whose grandfather, you know, said he fought in World War II because he wanted for the Indians to have the right to vote. And, you know, she said that was so important to her, and she teaches that to her students. She's a teacher. But, you know, I think we need to do everything that we can to make voter registration forms available at all points of contact within the tribal government. A lot of this stuff is sort of identified in NARF's, you know, website about Native votes, and so I would suggest people go there. They, you know, encourage working with the Secretary of State like Matthew has done to get polling places, you know, on or near the reservation and essentially ballot boxes because we have mail-in voting here in Washington State. But one of the recommendations I really liked, and it says encourage young people to encourage older people to vote. And I know that that's so crucial. And, you know, if we had young people getting our voters to polling locations or getting them to the post office to drop off their ballots, that would really be a great day. And I think the final recommendation I really like is having sort of places for people to eat, you know, to encourage them to get out to vote near these polling places.
Well, so, you know, that's how people do a lot of meetings. If there's food there, they'll come. Interesting. Thank you for that, Yvette. I think we got Joyce ready to go. Joyce, in Wounded Knee, South Dakota, our pleasure to bring you into the conversation. What are you thinking today, Joyce?
Oh, the only comment that I have is when I was growing up and my parents didn't have a place to go to vote, and I thought, well, geez, this is very early, but maybe later I'll get to vote. And then here it is in 2000 where there are places to vote, but there's no transportation. No one, they always say they're going to provide it, but then they never do. And that's another place where there's a sticky point where they tell us, we'll take you. And when we get to the destination to where they're going to take us, we never get there.
And that's concerning. And Joyce, you know, we're hearing, too, the thought of, well, maybe partnering with young people if they're jazzed about voting. And there's a lot of possibilities. And when we hear that somebody wants to vote and then they don't because of a certain reason, Jacqueline, how does that make you feel? And Joyce, thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much, Joyce, for telling your story. And I think, you know, so many people out there, Natives vote in our own elections. We turn out in huge numbers. People want to vote. And, yeah, it is too far. You know, polling places are too far from Native communities. And, you know, what we hear so often is tribes that have to engage in self-help. You know, they suddenly, you know, the tribe has to pay to, you know, set up a system where they pick up all the members and drive them the 40 miles to the polling location. But in reality, you know, that polling location shouldn't be that far. You know, it should be somewhere that's regularly accessed by all the people inside the community center, inside the, you know, tribal administration building, something that is just more accessible to members and something where members more naturally frequent. And so it's not such a burden. But what we hear over and over again is that tribes are forced to engage in self-help. That's often costly. And so, you know, of course, we encourage tribes to do so. We think that, you know, ultimately having a seat at the table is what's most important. But, you know, we also fight to make sure that voting is reasonable in the first place so that everybody, like Joyce, that wants to vote can.
All right. Thanks again, Joyce. Great to hear from you. Looks like we got Naomi back. Naomi in Pine Ridge. Go ahead. Your thoughts on all this.
Good afternoon. I finally got a better spot to contact you guys. Right now, I am part of the Ogallala Tribe election. We are having a special election today. It's for the OST Gaming Commission. It's a 6-year term. And I'm doing food deliveries to each polling site for all our judges, tellers, and monitors. The thing about it is that our voters, our Lakota people, you know, the only time they're really interested in voting is during the major elections, like the primary and general election of the Oglala tribe or any tribe. And regarding the voters, our people, you know, from 18 years old and over, or the deceased, people that are deceased that are on the voters list, it falls back not on the election commission. It falls back on our district community services. They are the ones to keep update on all the census of everybody that's in that district or even the communities. They need to update that monthly. So that way, our people have that right to vote instead of having to do a challenge.
Sure. And you know, a clean vote always gets you, you know, rolling right away instead of having to wait for, you know, those challenges or even unclear results. Naomi, we wish you the best. Wish you safe travels. And, you know, hearing from Naomi, she makes a good point. People, they pay attention to tribal elections. Many people participate when it comes to electing leadership or an issue that everyone is talking about. So, Jacqueline, are any of the advocates or is there anything there of seeing how much energy goes into voting for tribal elections to maybe even bridge getting people to vote for state and local? Is there anything there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we encourage every tribe to analyze what would work best for their tribe. But in cases where, you know, state and federal elections, the dates are set, you know, we encourage people to work with the communities or the counties to get a ballot location in the same place as your tribal election and coordinate those dates. So if you can have your major tribal election on the same day as the state and federal, and, you know, all your members have to do is walk across the building to go, or, you know, walk across the room. They can vote in their tribal election and then walk across the room to vote in their state and federal elections. We absolutely encourage tribes to do that because we think that it can be really powerful. I will caution in some places, for example, we observed in Arizona that the traditional districts don't align with the state and federal districts. So people would have to travel. So if they were to coordinate their elections, people would have to travel really far to go home and vote, and then, you know, double back to go to their state and federal to vote. And so in instances like that, it doesn't make sense to align the dates. But if it's something that where, you know, you could have a ballot box near the where people would also vote in your state and federal, then absolutely people should do that.
All right, thank you. Matthew, I want to turn to you in just thinking of ways to ease people's ability to get out there and vote. Any more details you want to share, or something I was also wondering about of having support from maybe where you work in a tribal community to go out and vote? You know, is it frowned upon, or, you know, are people open and ready to see you do your thing? Go ahead, Matthew.
Well, actually, with the Yakama Nation, as Yvette was alluding to, is we do is we do put out a list of issues and candidates that we support, because those candidates do align with our concerns. So the tribe, the tribal council does work with me, and, you know, they even have questions on their ballots, and so I do have a lot of individuals who come and visit me, and if they don't understand what an issue is, or, you know, they're not sure which candidate to vote for, yes, the Yakama Nation does fully support voting in local and state elections. And as we know, every year is an election year. This year we have an election. Next year we have an election. It's a huge one, but we're trying to encourage people to vote every time. So when we're registering people to vote, it's one thing to register them, but it's another thing to keep them engaged, you know, to keep them continuously voting, because that increases your voting block. And here in Eastern Washington, the Yakama Nation and the Colville are the two largest voting blocks in Eastern Washington. And I know that we had discussed redistricting, and that's something that I'd like to touch on sometime.
All right. You got about 2 minutes to do that. Go ahead.
So with the census, we have the census that comes every 10 years. And after the census, what the legislature does is they create a redistricting commission. So it's two people from the Republicans, two people from the Democrats, and a third person who's independent for the chair. And they create, they take the census numbers and they draft up these legislative districts and congressional districts. At the last census, Colville was split into two, the 7th and the 12th, and even into the congressional district, the 4th and the 5th. Yakima was split into the 14th and 15th. So we have individuals that live on those lines that, you know, still, again, using traditional methods, you know, think that they can vote in another district, but they can't. And then, so what we're doing is locally, I'm a part of a complete count committee, and we're working to ensure everybody is counted. But I'm also appointed to the Washington State Complete Count Committee, who's chaired by former Governor Gary Locke, and we're working to ensure that everybody is counted. So when we do the redistricting, that we do it in a proper way, and that we keep communities like, as is indicated in the census, like communities together. So that would be
Yakima, Colville, and other tribes who do get gerrymandered out.
Well, Matthew, if folks do want to connect with you, more questions on this, or you know they're understanding something today and want to know more, where do they contact you or get information there in Yakima?
My email address is basically my first name, MATHEW underscore my last name, TOMASKIN, Matthew underscore Tomaskin at yakima.com.
All right, thank you for that. And Yvette, we are at the end of the hour, but if there are any contacts you'd like to share, please do.
Yes, my email address is Yvette Joseph, as in one word, YVETTEJOSEPH at gmail.com. And Matthew and I are both on a website in Washington State, a Facebook site, and we work with the Native American Caucus of Washington State Democrats, and so people can contact us through that.
Okay. Thank you for that. And folks, we also do have a link, if it's not there, we'll get it there, for the Native American Rights Fund if you do want to reach Jacqueline DeLeon too. That's going to do it for our program. We do appreciate you tuning in. And if there's more to be said, maybe you're a little shy today, didn't want to call in, but you're thinking something, go ahead and reach out to us. You can send us an email. We know that we will do many voting shows in the future, upcoming elections. Well, we'll be taking a look at it. Maybe you have a great idea or a thought that you'd like us to consider. Go ahead and reach out to us. Send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And if you missed and time ran out, well, you can post directly on Facebook or send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Thanks again to Matthew Tomaskin, Jacqueline DeLeon, and Yvette Joseph. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for a discussion about eating healthy. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood.
Support for this program by the Heard Museum, hosting the 29th annual Hoop Dance World Championship, where you can see more than 80 talented Native hoop dancers combine artistry, sheer athleticism, and cultural traditions to create an exciting, colorful, and suspenseful competition as they vie for the championship title. It all takes place February 9th and 10th at the Heard Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. Details at heard.org.
Yat e National Children's Dental Health Month e yabajat na yol kaat e konaha atchin e di ajabu wot da badad nol il Medicaid o CHIP chip isne e bin nachit da beso jahna niligi na atchin e buwo ajik e badad nol il naidi ki da neholon medicaid.gov jay di lil e do da na ezeil in a nabidil kil a message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services ahya ha
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.